Hello, everyone. I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with Midwifery Business Consultation. I have Hillary Slinger here. She is a certified nurse midwife, certified professional midwife, has many educational backgrounds for midwifery, so we get to learn about that. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Hillary.
So I started attending births as an apprentice midwife in 1980, and I did go through many educational routes. I actually was a direct entry midwife before there was NARM, before there was MEEK. I became a licensed midwife in New Mexico in 1982. I became a certified nurse midwife 20 years later using the New York process. I then went and got a master's in midwifery from Philadelphia University. I've had many different titles in front of the word midwife, but through it all, I'm a midwife.
And I'm very curious what most people be like, okay, I've got one degree, I'm done. Hillary, what made you evolve from one step to the other? Like, what was the thinking?
Some of it was about legality. Some about was the changing milieu of midwifery. Some of it was changing where at my geographic location. It's also tied into my struggles with New York State. And that's a very much longer political discussion, which we can have another day. But when in 1993, when New York State recognized direct entry midwifery, the CM was not even in existence, and the assumption of those in the direct entry community was that they would be recognizing the CPM, which they did not do. Mm-hmm. And so I took on New York State, and it took me a number of years, but I got them to recognize my direct entry education and to allow me to sit for the ACNM exam.
Oh my gosh.
So that's how I became a CNM, and there were somewhere between 12 and 15 people who followed after me and used that the New York exception between 2002 and 2010. But I've also lately been very involved in midwifery education. And when I did my master's at Philadelphia University, one of the courses that I took as an elective was midwifery education. And through that process, I designed a course specifically for CNMs who were interested in home birth practice. I actually did my critical inquiry thesis at Philadelphia on looking at the education of CMs and CNMs with regard to home birth. Mm-hmm. And what I found is that most programs do not have extensive education for people who want to open independent practices.
Yeah, and that's how you and I are very passionate together. We are very similar on that mindset. I noticed it as well.
And so a lot of folks come out and they've really been trained to work within a hospital or clinical setting, but are at sea if they want to open an independent practice. So I designed a course. I've been teaching it since 2009. Mm-hmm. And mine is more extensive than yours. I think
we'll let people know that, I started 6 months ago a home birth course. But yes, I would love to compare our two home birth courses. So if anybody is looking, what one makes more sense for them? So definitely talk about yours, Hillary, and then I'll talk about mine.
Right. So mine really is a class. It's a 6 week or half semester class. And actually, I live in Albuquerque, and there is a nurse midwifery program at the University of New Mexico, and some of the students from there have utilized my class as a course within their program as an independent study course. And I have somebody doing that right now. It really delves into why home birth, the safety of home birth, the history of it. It looks at setting up looks at international studies, U.S. studies, looks at the legal status state by state for CNMs and CMs, looks at setting up guidelines. What's the difference between protocols and guidelines? What does it have to do with standards of practice? What is the community standard? And so I do have folks who just take those the first 2 weeks, which would cover those six subjects. And then there are people who want to open a practice and they delve into looking at practice structure. Do you want to be a solo practitioner? Or do you want a partnership or a group practice? What are the advantages and disadvantages of each? How do you do an assessment of your own community? Are you needed?
I think that's very similar to, so my course is 8 hours and it's more of the business side, the details. Like right. I consider it more for like an experienced midwife, has some experience with birth centers, home birth. There's no history. Yeah. It's just right down to business. Cause yeah, I could, we both could have a whole semester course. If I think it's amazing. You went to the everything in depth, thorough, which is amazing. And then I did the variation of 8 hours where it's the business entities, it's the financial agreements, right. It's the business plan, the details of a business entrepreneurial side of a home birth practice. So I think it's great that we both are out there, and I send people your way all the time. If it seems like, okay, you don't have much experience with home birth or out of hospital practices, that maybe taking Hillary's class would make more sense, because mine's just is so focused on the business aspect.
And I do cover the business aspect. I have people put together a business plan, but I think you're more in depth with those things.
Yep, I do tax strategies, and I do a right. lot of the budgets, the like you said, the business entities. I go into details, the tax side and the tax deductions and getting capital funding. Like I go really yeah. in details, the business side. So yeah, I think that's where we complement.
Right. Right. I could see somebody taking my class who hasn't ever been involved in a home birth practice or a birth center practice, just for getting the broad overview. I talk about things like how do you write letters to consultants? How do you look for not only where is your transfers and referrals and collaborations going to be in terms of obstetricians, but who else might you be collaborating with? Perhaps it's going to be other practitioners like acupuncturists or chiropractors, knowing the pediatricians in your area, the perinates. Where's the best place to send people for ultrasounds or mammograms? I know that within my own practice, the older I got, the more that I started seeing menopausal women. And I have a wonderful relationship with a compounding pharmacy, because I started seeing women who wanted natural hormone therapies.
Yeah, so, building those resources and relationships are so huge, and that's part of any yes. business. Or even if you're employed in a hospital, it's not as much what you know, it's who you know. So yes, those are very important skills.
Very important skills. And then in this era of information, and there's so much, there's good information, but there's also not such great information. And so I do talk about things like information for clients. Also, how do you gather practice documents? What do you want to say about your practice? How do you talk about your informed consents? And I know this overlaps some with the business part of it, but it's also how do you present yourself to both your clients and to the community at large? How do you advertise your practice? Some about how do you situate your office space.
Yeah. So yours is definitely more the clinical side. And mine is like, when you were talking about the collaborations, I'm like, oh, I've got strategies of how to buy a building to make a community center. And then when you were talking about, yeah, so it's interesting. They complement each other. Like, I'm like, oh, I've got asset protection. You're talking about informed consent. I've got like this aspect. So I think they sound more and more like they'd be yeah. great complements of each other.
I do think that that's so. I think that yours is totally for the person who has worked in that kind of practice before and who comes in with a lot of those resources. For folks who haven't, who do you even use as your assistants? What are your expectations of your assistants? What about education? Are you doing childbirth education, or are there people in your community who are? Are you doing breastfeeding consulting? Are you a lactation consultant? You know, so then looking at what are those other What are those other pieces?
If you're not offering them, who is the one? Yeah.
And then how do you yourself do continuing education? So some people go, well, gosh, I'm used to doing that within a hospital setting and having it set up. Mm-hmm. So how do I access also courses? How do I access peer review when I'm not in that kind of setting?
Exactly.
Benchmarking. You know, mm-hmm. So there's so many different aspects to it. And I think I end with self-care, because that's one of the biggest things that I see with midwives. Is people who burn out because they don't know how to balance. You know, I've talked to folks and said, yes, I had an active midwifery practice for 37 years. Wow. And now I've gone on to doing midwifery education, and I've been involved with different midwifery colleges, but I didn't burn out because I knew how to set those limits, which a lot of people don't. And you know, it's really hard in a caring profession.
It is.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's okay. I was just going to say, I agree wholeheartedly with the professional burnout. I had my practice for 4 years and I didn't have that business knowledge. I didn't have that good foundation. I didn't have self-care. I didn't have a work-life balance, and it put me in a very, very dark place. So I'm very passionate about professional burnout and getting that good business foundation, getting a good self-care foundation, because midwives, I think really we get 1% of the population, not because of the demand. I think because of the lack of access to services for private practices and the burnout, the turnover, people choosing other professions because it's a skill to be able to separate and be able to make that work-life balance.
When you talk about access as well, one of my passions is that midwifery should be accessible to everybody. Mm-hmm. And so when I had an active practice, I took TRICARE, I took Medicare, I took Medicaid, I took every insurance plan and was on their panel that I could. For me, it was my dedication to making midwifery and out-of-hospital birth, community birth, available to everybody. And so I know that I got paid less, for example, doing a TRICARE birth or attending folks on Medicaid. But I also know that I reached people I never would have reached had I not done that. And so being able within your business plan to decide,
your ratio of how much Medicaid, how much TRICARE per delivery list. I took Medicaid with mine, and in Michigan, there wasn't any birth center facility, so they had to choose cash for that. I had a sliding fee schedule. Medicaid didn't pay for out-of-hospital birth, so anything that was non-covered, I had the same thing. I had a special sliding fee schedule, but I also knew I wasn't going to make that 80% of my month because your numbers wouldn't add up. So that's part of those skills of starting your own private practice.
Whereas in New Mexico, where home birth is a covered service, it is in our original Medicaid Assistance Division, which they call the MAD documents, and midwives are a covered service, and we worked really hard. And sometimes it is going to the legislature with it, because when Medicaid went from fee-for-service to being through managed care organizations, they balked at including independent midwives. And so we actually had to go to the governor and with a lobbyist to make sure that we kept what is now called the Birthing Options Program that still covers midwives. And so reimbursement rates are actually not unlike those for some of the private insurance companies with Medicaid in New Mexico, and it's really state by state. And so some of it, even knowing that you can access the payment codes, the payment lists for the various CPT codes online, and even for the HCPCS codes, and folks don't know that you can do that state by state.
Yeah, there's so many great resources out there. I would love to end with your last project you're working on. You really excited me when you were talking about in Florida. If you want to tease with a little bit of what you're working on in Florida, I think it's so exciting.
So I've been working for a MEEC accredited CPM college. And I did that for 2.5 years in Wisconsin. And I'm now working with an independent educational institute in Florida. And it's called the International Institute for Healthcare Professionals. And it mainly is a nursing school. And they also have a small midwifery program. They have been overseen by the CIE, which is the Commission for Independent Education in the state of Florida, but are seeking national accreditation through MEEC, which if people don't know is the Midwifery Education Accreditation Council. And so I just started at the beginning of this month working on firming up their curriculum, working on really expanding what they're going to have to offer for potential midwives who want to become licensed midwives in the state of Florida and potentially in surrounding states as well.
Well, I think it's amazing. We need more and more midwifery schools. You have such a unique skill set. I mean, having the educational pathway, being part of, in your past career, being an actual program director, I mean, you have so much knowledge to bring to the table. So how could people get a hold of you if they have questions or want to access your online course you have?
So they can write to me at hillaryschlinger@gmail.com. And I'm going to spell that because I do have an unusual name. And unlike Hillary Clinton, I spell my name with one L. So I am hillaryschlinger@gmail.com. They can also look for the Home Birth Practice Essentials course on Facebook.
Yep, and I'll link both down below to the video as well.
That would be great. And it's been so nice to talk to you and really to know that both of our courses do fit together. I feel like, you know, I'm for the home birth newbie. Yeah. And then you really delve into a lot of those business strategies that'll help people keep their practices healthy and going.
Yeah. I definitely, the last few years have focused on business. Like I found how much I lost in taxes and deductions for my past practice. Like how many women more you can serve by knowing these, I call them games. Like it's these laws out there that most business owners don't realize we have access to. So my goal is to help midwives. And like, I want you to have a successful practice. You're already given amazing care. Let's let you keep more of your money you're giving to the government you don't necessarily have to give. So yes, I'm a big passionate person of like, let's use the system to our advantage.
You know, I think there are a lot of myths out there that, you know, people call it a hobby. Well, it wasn't a hobby. I put 3 kids through college and have been a support for my family for almost 40 years doing midwifery.
Yeah, and there's a lot of women, they're breadwinners, and they want to have a vacation, they want to have a work-life balance. I get it that it's a heart and it's a passion, it's a career, but you also have to make a successful business. You're doing a disservice to your women when you can't make the numbers work, and now you're increasing the volume and not giving that good quality care because the business and that foundation isn't there. So I think it's so important to get good planning, or if you've already established your practice and need to work out some kinks, to have these great resources available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I totally agree.
Well, thank you so much, Hillary. And I'll put your information down below. And we'll definitely have more talks to dig into more of the other topics. So thank you.
Okay.